Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us and give your comments and your thoughts, please dial in at 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. when Sister Barbara will come with our lesson. Amen. So at this time, I want to pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in the midst of it all. Amen. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and I'm taking prayer requests at this time. At this time, I will play another selection. Amen.
Bless you, Jesus.
Father God, pick me up, Lord, and hold me in your arms. Protect me from the pressures of the day and remove the heaviness from my heart. Inspire me with the knowledge that you and I together can handle anything. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And it's as simple as that. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. It's not you have to pray for 2 hours or 3 hours, just a minute's prayer. Just thanking God for what he has given to you. Thanking him for how far he has brought you. Thanking him for life, for strength, for your health, wisdom, and understanding, and thanking him for providing you with all of your needs. That's all it is, having a heartfelt, passionate conversation with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. I like to play this selection for the parents of the 9-year-old girl who drowned in the pond. I just want to let them know that, you know, we are praying for them and we're asking God to continue to wrap his arms around them and comfort them in their time of need and the loss of their beloved daughter. Amen. So I hope that you enjoyed this selection. You just got to listen to the words of the song. Amen. Praise God.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray. And the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it. There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him,
call on him,
pleaded with the Lord,
to heed.
Called on him.
Down on my knees, I called on him. Hey.
All of
a sudden, I heard a voice singing deep down inside. Through trials and tribulations and your heavy laden burden, Jesus said, cast your cares upon me and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Pleading, Lord, we'll hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call him. And hear his voice. Speaking way deep down inside, he's saying,
God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. The title of this message is The Wisdom We Need. Praise God. And the scripture reading is coming from Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, amen? And it says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser than those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So these scriptures is in this age of information. Knowledge is plentiful, but wisdom is sacred. Wisdom means far more than simply knowing a lot. It is a basic attitude to every aspect of life. The foundation of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, to honor and respect God, to live in awe of his power, and to obey his word. Faith in God should be the controlling principle for your understanding of the world, your attitudes and action. Trust in God. He will make you truly wise. Amen. Praise be to God. So my text for this message is coming from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 in the New Living Translation. And it says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. The writer says, Ellen opened her mailbox and discovered a bulky envelope with her dear friend's return address. Just a few days prior, she shared a relational struggle with that friend. Curious, she unwrapped the package and found a colorful beaded necklace on a simple jute string. Attached was a card with a company slogan, "Say it in Morse code." The words translating the necklace hidden and wise message: seek God's way. Amen. Ellen smiled as she fastened it around her neck. The book of Proverbs is a compilation of wise sayings, many penned by Solomon, who was acclaimed as the wisest man of his era, 1 Kings 10 and 23. It's thirsty It's 31 chapters called The Reader to Listen to Wisdom and Avoid Folly. Starting with the core message of Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom, knowing what to do when comes from honoring God by seeking his ways. In the introductory verses, we read, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Verses 8 through 9. Ellen's friend had directed her to the source of the wisdom she needed. Seek God's ways. Her gift focused Ellen's attention on where to discover the help she needed. When we honor God and seek his ways, we will receive the wisdom we need. It. We need for all the matters we face in life, each and every one of us. Amen. To God be the glory. Question. Where do you go when you need wisdom? And how can you keep God's words in the forefront of your mind? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. God, remind us that you are the source of the wisdom we need. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, again, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. We would be glad to have you, and you can call in your prayer request at that same number. Praise God. So at this time, I will play another selection, which is entitled Jesus at the Center of It All by Israel and the New Breed. Praise God.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus, be the center, say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Elohim, Ah Elohim, the God of gods. God of gods, except our gratitude for all you are and all you do. Thank you for this day, for waking us up this morning, and for giving us another moment in life. Thank you for surrounding us with the people in our life, some to sharpen us, some to comfort us, and others to reflect your closeness to us, your creation. Thank you for the majesty of your handiwork, for dotting the landscape with your brilliant pieces of art. God of gods, we owe all our gratitude to you, because everything we enjoy and everything that helps us grow ultimately comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. Right now, we are going to Lift Him Up by Brian Cage. Praise God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
cause I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
He's in control,
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
Him I live, I move,
in
and
Him I live, I move, and have my King.
Say like the best of people.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live,
move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
the problem may
be. Clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live,
if you believe that,
sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, listen.
Call
Him
to triumph,
and we know we will rule in
You didn't have to suffer and die for me way back on Calvary, but I just want to thank you. I gotta thank you. Yes, I do. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful.
scheming. Stop scheming. Just a matter of time before you run out of luck. They always say they got your back. Hard time will make your face too back. A waste of life, you can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the dark, disappoint answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anointed you fall. The light of His word, pick you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
Praise be to God, and that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Now we're going to get ready to go into our lesson for this evening, Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie, by our very own Barbara Amore, and we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. Praise be to God.
Is anyone else on the line yet?
No, they're still at rehearsal.
Okay. We're going to open in prayer.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, a few of your humble servants come to say thank you. Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before, a beautiful day, Father God, because it's yours. We thank you for doing everything that you've done, everything that you're going to do, and everything that you're doing right now. Lord, we ask that you just look down upon us and give us your unconditional love even more, your faithfulness, your grace and your mercy, your favor, all of the benefits that you have to offer us, all of your promises, Father God. I ask that you bless the bereaved families right now, those who are going through, comfort them and strengthen them, Lord God. Bless those who are in the hospitals, Lord. Help them, God. Heal them, Father God. Allow them to recover, Lord Jesus, if it be thy will. I pray that you will bless the government. Bless the president, the vice president, his cabinet, all those who are in places of authority, Father God. I just continue to give you all the glory and praise and honor. You're the worthy one. Bless all the pastors, the ministers, the apostles and deacons, the evangelists and the ushers and first ladies and all of those in that capacity, Father God. I'm praying for the Pope also, Lord. I understand he had surgery, and I just pray that he's recovering in the way that you would have him to recover. So just bless us, and we will be blessed. Keep us, and we shall be kept. I ask that you forgive us of all our sins, those of omission and commission. And thank you again. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. You're just awesome, Lord. And we appreciate you. We're so grateful for you. All these blessings I ask in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. You're the best. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to continue with our lesson on 164. It's entitled the B section of chapter 23. We're talking about Satan, the creation and sin of Satan. And part B talks about the nature of Satan's sin. The New Testament pinpoints Satan's particular sin as arrogance, conceit, or being puffed up, 1 Timothy 3 and 6. Would you get that? And I'll ask you to read it in a moment.
Okay.
1 Timothy 3 and 6. It is likened to the conceit a new convert may have when he is either pushed forward or asserts himself too quickly and begins to take to himself the glory that belongs to God. Ezekiel 28 and 16 assigns the cause of Satan's downfall to the abundance of his trade. In other words, Satan used his position for personal profit to traffic in his own self-promotion. Amen. That's a mouthful. What do you think about that?
He was a puffed up, arrogant person. Well, I don't know if he was a person at that time, but he wanted to be everything that God was or God is. Let's see, and it makes it seem some particular things as arrogant conceited and he's puffed up. It is like being to this thing. A new covenant may happen when he is either pushed forward or asserted. Yeah, that's what he wanted. He wanted to be God. And you said
he wanted to be above God.
Right.
Thought he was more than God, and that's saying a lot. How could you be more than the Creator?
Exactly.
Amen.
You can't.
And he was trying. Well, he found out.
Mm-hmm.
He used his position, as the sentence says, for personal profit to traffic in his own self promotion. So he was promoting Satan.
Yeah.
Satan was promoting Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So 1 Timothy 3 and 6, would you read that, please? And I'll read the other one, Ezekiel 28 and 16.
Okay, I'm reading from the New Living. 6 says, an elder must not be a new believer because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. Okay.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I'm going to read it from the Message Bible, which it goes from 1 to 7. It says from 1, if anyone wants to provide leadership in the church, good. But there are preconditions. A leader must be well thought of, committed to his wife, cool and collected, accessible and hospitable. He must know what he's talking about. Not be overfond of wine, not pushy but gentle, not thin-skinned, not money-hungry. He must handle his own affairs well, attentive to his own children and having their respect. For if someone is unable to handle his own affairs, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a new believer, lest the position go to his head and the devil trip him up. Outsiders must think well of him, or else the devil will figure out a way to lure him into his trap. Amen. That says a lot also. Amen. So we're going to look at Ezekiel 28 and 16. I know you read that so many times, but Ezekiel 28 and 16, if you would read that, please. Have it?
Yes. 28 and 16 says, "You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you."
Mm-hmm. So
just 28 and 16, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Then I read. I read 15, that's why. Okay. 15 says, "Your rich commerce led you to violence and you sinned. So I banished you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire."
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we said last week that the stones represent God.
Yes.
Amen. So that he was banished from God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Kicked banished out of heaven.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah gives more detail of Satan's sin. Isaiah 14, 12 through 17. Would you get that, please? Like the Ezekiel 28:11-19 passage, there is a question as to whether or not this refers at all to Satan. Evangelist, there's an echo. I don't know if you can mute whatever it is that's getting feedback.
Okay. So that means.
Or is that me?
It got to be you because, wait a minute, let me check.
Okay, I have my Bluetooth. I don't know if that's it.
You still hear it? Otherwise, I'll turn off the...
I don't hear it right now.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I hear it when I talk.
Oh, okay. So it's not on my end. Ah, there goes First Lady.
Amen.
Hello.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Good evening.
How are you?
Thank you. Doing good, thanks.
Wonderful. So Isaiah gives more detail of Satan's sin. We're at section B, the nature of Satan's sin, second paragraph. And we're going to read Isaiah 14, 12 through 17 in a moment. But like the Ezekiel 28:11 through 19 passage, there is a question as to whether or not this refers at all to Satan. And we talked about that. Number one, some regard the Isaiah passage as referring only to the fall of the king of Babylon, mentioned in verse 4. Two, others understand the passage to relate only to the fall of Satan. Three, those who hold views one or two may also see the king of Babylon or Satan as prefiguring the fall of the coming Antichrist. And four, likely the truth includes all of these references, i.e., the fall of the king of Babylon is an antitype of the previous fall of Satan and a type of the future fall of Antichrist. Delicious says it concisely. A retrospective glance is now cast at the self deification of the king of Babylon, in which he was the antitype of the devil and the type of Antichrist. The passage transcends anything that can be said of an earthly king, goes above anything that can be said of an earthly king, and has been understood from earliest times to also refer to Satan's fall as described in Luke 10 and 18. Evangelist, get Isaiah 14, 12 through 17, please.
Okay. And it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods, far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heaven and be like the Most High. Instead, you will be brought down into the place of the dead, down to its lowest depth. Everyone there will stare at you and ask, can this be the one who shook the earth and made the kingdoms of the world tremble? Is this the one who destroyed the world and made it into a wasteland? Is this the king who demolished the world's greatest cities and had no mercy on his prisoners? Amen.
What do you think of that?
Well, for me, I feel like this is, you know, Satan. They're talking about Satan.
Yeah, that's what it says. Mm-hmm. Details of Satan's sin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what was his sin?
His sin? He was arrogant, fucked up, proud, selfish. He wanted to be, he wanted to take God's place. He wanted, he wanted everything that God had. He wanted to be the king of this world.
Amen. Of this world?
The Most High. Okay.
Of heaven.
Heaven.
Of heaven, yeah.
He wanted to be the king in heaven.
In heaven.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, because remember, he got kicked out.
Yes.
And in getting kicked out, we'll see later on what his position became. All right? Hopefully we'll get there today.
Right. Because he got kicked out, but he said, I will ascend to heaven. That means I'm going back up to heaven.
I'm going back up there.
Right.
I'm going to break down doors. I'm going back.
All right.
Right there at 13. I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars.
That's his problem.
I'm going back.
That is his problem.
Trying to bully God.
Let's take a look at Luke 10 and 18. Nadine, Luke 10 and 18.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Luke 10 and 18 says, so he said to them, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven.
Mm-hmm. So can you imagine
like lightning.
That?
Oh, wow. My goodness gracious.
Wow. He was getting out of Dodge fast, okay?
Right.
So, Satan is called the morning star in Isaiah 14 and 12, which Evangelist read. The Latin equivalent is Lucifer, and I know we've heard him referred to by that name. He has many names.
Mm-hmm.
The basis of this passage became a name for Satan. However, the use of morning star with reference to Satan gives us an indication of the basic character of his plot against God. Since the same title is used in Revelation 22 and 16 of Christ, we are alert to the fact that Satan's plan was to counterfeit the plan of God. And indeed, it was and is. How he initiated that plan is detailed in the five I will phrases of Isaiah 14, 13 through 14. And so what does it mean in this counterfeit? Satan counterfeit the plan of God. Nadine, what was that?
Oh, yes. That that he wanted to destroy God's plan. And sort of like, I think his plan was to counterfeit the plan of God. It means like he just wanted to interfere with it and destroy God's plan by being a counterfeit. It has to do with,
use another word because you can't use the same word to define it. So if you can find another word for counterfeit, that would be helpful.
Like a false representation. Mm-hmm.
Okay. An imitation of the real
imitation,
thing.
Imitation, yeah.
Right. You think about counterfeit money. All right?
Right.
It looks like the real thing on the surface if they're a good counterfeiter. But when it's examined or when it's swiped with that pen, that black pen, or held up to the light as they change the bill now, change the bill with the dual watermark or whatever, you can see that it's real or not. If it's missing those signs, those things, you know that it's fake. All right? So he was fake.
Satan had a fake
plan of God, and indeed it was and is. How he initiated that plan is detailed in the five I will phrases of Isaiah 14. Can you mute your background, Nathan? Isaiah 14:13-14 says, number one, I will ascend, thank you, I will ascend to heaven as guardian of God's holiness. Satan had access to heaven. As we said, he was able to go back up there as he said he was going to go back. But this expresses his desire to occupy and settle in heaven on an equality with God. What does that mean?
Equality. He wanted to go back and sit equally with God in heaven. Like,
yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And we see that he was a guardian.
Mm-hmm.
He was a cherub. He was a guardian of God's holiness and had access to heaven. But this expresses his desire to occupy and settle in heaven on an equality. So he no longer wanted to be the security guard. He wanted to be, you know, God.
The boss. Right.
The boss.
The boss.
Yeah,
like,
the boss.
I'm moving up.
I'm tired of guarding him. You know, I want to do what he can do, and I think I can do it better.
That's
better than the creator. Okay, you think you can do it better than the creator. And that kind of thing brings to mind to me sometimes when children think that they know more than the parents.
Mm-hmm.
They can do it better than what the parents are doing. And sometimes they do, but it's a matter of respect.
Right.
You know,
yes.
I mean, maybe they can. Maybe they've got an education that the parents weren't fortunate enough to acquire. So, yeah, they have ideas that, but I'm talking about when they're younger and they may not have been exposed to those things. And they're just not nice. They're just not nice to their parents. And my thing is, I just don't think they know any better.
They don't.
What do you think?
I agree. They don't. They
and
don't know
sometimes
better.
The children see the parents acting in disorderly ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they take that to mean that the parents don't respect themselves. So why should I respect you?
True. Right. Oh, I've seen, like, you know, one of the things I used to talk to my niece's mom about, you know, because she felt that, you know, her birthday would come, Mother's Day will come, holidays will come. And my niece wouldn't give her anything for any of those things. And her mom would be like, oh, it's okay. And I would be like, no, that's not okay. That is not okay. You know, you buy for her. She has to learn to honor you. And she's only going to learn to honor you. You can't, like, say, oh, and she's working, too? She got a job? Not like she got a job. She lives in your house.
That's
you
selfishness.
Can't. And I told my niece, I said, how dare you? I said, you mm-hmm. you live rent-free. Mm-hmm. How dare you not honor your mom on her birthday? And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, auntie. And from that day on, I've never heard another word about her not doing what she, you know, and a lot of times,
wonderful.
You know, you find parents that allow them to get away with stuff like that. Like,
exactly.
Where they become so disrespectful because,
yes.
you know, sometimes you know, you let them, you know, treat you a certain way. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And so, Mike, what was the reason that your niece didn't give your sister, I guess, or... her mother, I'll say. Why didn't she give her mother?
Because she said, oh, she never wants anything. I said, what do you mean she never wants anything?
Mm.
Because I think, you know, it was her mom who did it. You know, her mom didn't think. I think her mom didn't think she was worthy of it or whatever because she didn't
okay.
have all of. She had two sons. Her two sons were at my nephew's, but her daughter was my niece. And
mm-hmm.
none of them gave her anything. Because she
oh,
was being,
wow.
she stopped, you know, like what they, I don't know. I mean, she would be like, oh, they don't have to give me nothing. I said, yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
What are you
mm-hmm.
saying?
And
then, and you
she
know, she
probably had expressed that to them,
mm-hmm.
and they took it literally. You
literally.
Know?
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
But, you know, once in a while, unless you're doing some extra chores around the house, you need to give something. It doesn't have to be a bought from a whatever, a store, Macy's or whatever, but
something
to show that you appreciate it.
At least a
that.
Card.
Right.
Not even a card. Not even a,
oh,
not even a card they would give us.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a card. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but that came to a big halt.
Good. Good. Glad you said something.
Yes.
Yeah, glad you said something. All right, number two. Talking about the phrases in Isaiah, the I will phrases in Isaiah. Number two, I will raise my throne above the stars of God. The meaning of this depends on the understanding of stars. If they refer to angels, as in Job 38 and 7, Jude 13, Revelation 12, 3 through 4, then Satan wished to rule over all the angels. If they refer to the luminous heavenly bodies, then he wished to rule in the heavens. So, Nadine, get Job 38 and 7 and Jude 13. Evangelist, get Revelation 12, 3 through 4, please.
Okay.
Okay. So
Job 38
and
7 and 12, 3 through 4.
You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When the morning, this is Job 38:7. When the morning stars were singing together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So that refers to the angels, right? And then Jude 13 says, wild waves of the sea foaming up their own shameful deeds, wandering stars for whom the deep gloom of darkness has been reserved for eternity.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a hmm. That refers to the angels.
Let me see what the message says. Jude 13 says, well, it's 12 and 13. These people are warts on your love feast. As you worship and eat together, they're giving you a black eye, carousing, shamelessly, grabbing anything that isn't nailed down. They're puffs of smoke, pushed by gusts of wind, late autumn trees stripped clean of leaf and fruit, doubly dead, pulled up by the roots, wild ocean waves leaving nothing on the beach but the foam of their shame, lost stars in outer space on their way to the black hole. Okay, and this is talking about the angels again. These are the angels again. Evangelist, Revelation 12:3-4.
Okay. 3 says, then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, with 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. Amen. So then he's talking, the dragon is Satan himself, and the fallen ones are that 1/3 of the angels that he took with him. So he
cast out with him.
Yes.
His angels, since they love him so much, go with them.
The commentary for Jude 13, the commentary says,
okay,
they call it a love feast. These fellowship meals were eaten in connection with the Lord's Supper. It says, see, no, Corinthians 1:11-20, but they said pride, greed, and rebellion summarize the iniquities of the ungodly men who corrupt these love feasts. These false teachers, 1, were selfish, 2, had no water to offer thirsty souls, 3, were unstable, 4, they were fruitless, 5, without spiritual roots, 6, frothy, and 7, like momentary shooting stars.
Okay.
So it's describing 13, where it says the wild waves of the sea casting up their own shade like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever.
Wow.
That was Jude what?
13.
Oh, Jude 13.
Verse 13. You have a commentary. What do you use for a commentary?
Me? I use the New Living Translation.
Oh,
okay. All right. Yeah. Well, let's see.
Thank you.
They don't have one for 13.
For Jude 13.
They are like wild waves of the sea, churning up the form of their shameful deeds. They are like wandering stars, doomed forever to blackest darkness. And it goes only to 12. No, they don't have 13.
Okay.
They didn't even speak on it.
Okay. But we know that it's still talking about the angels.
Yes.
That went along with Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Satan wished to rule over all the angels.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives a description of that ruling, like the foam on the sea, like the black hole, like the abyss. Amen.
Yes.
He wished to rule in the heavens.
Oh, yeah.
But he was cast out. Number 3, I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. This bespeaks Satan's ambition to govern the universe as the assembly of Babylonian gods supposedly did. What do you think about that?
I will sit on the mount.
Well, we know that the Babylonian gods were Baal. Those were those idols.
Mm-hmm.
It says supposedly did. You know, they supposedly governed over the universe, but we know that was false.
The one who is in control.
Right.
And he will allow it to appear that others are governing, including Satan. But God is the ultimate controller of everything.
Amen.
Number 4, thank you. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Wow. He wanted the glory that belonged to God. Clouds are often associated with God's presence. See Exodus 16 and 10 and Isaiah 19 and 1. Would you get Exodus 16 and 10, Nadine? Isaiah 19 and 1? Angela?
So 16 and 10 reads, and at the moment of Aaron's speaking to all the community of the Israelites, they turned to the desert. And just then, the glory of Yahweh appeared in a cloud.
All right. So who is that?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who is Yahweh?
Oh, Yahweh is God. Yeah.
All right. Yahweh. That's
the
another
glory
name.
Of God. Right. Appeared in the cloud. Right. Yes. Thank you.
Isaiah 19 and 1.
Look, the Lord is advancing against Egypt. Okay, this message came to me concerning Egypt. Look, the Lord is advancing against Egypt, riding on a swift cloud. The idols of Egypt tremble. The hearts of the Egyptians melt with fear.
Amen. So once more, we're speaking about who? The Bible is speaking about who?
About Satan.
No.
God is on a cloud.
The cloud, yes.
God.
Exactly.
Yeah,
No, no problem. It's fine. So he wanted
but
to come.
But that's what you're saying. It's like he wanted to be in the heights of the clouds. That's what but the clouds belong to God. But that's what he wanted
right,
to be.
Whenever we see clouds in the Bible, they're talking about God.
Right. Okay.
And he wanted to ascend above the heights of the clouds. He wanted to be more than God. He thought he was more than God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Number five. I will make myself like the Most High. Here, his fake is crystal clear. Satan wanted to be like, not unlike God. The name Elyon for God stresses God's strength and sovereignty, Genesis 14 and 18. Nadine, get that, please? When I ask you, Satan wanted to be as powerful as God. He wanted to exercise the authority and control of this world that rightfully belongs only to God. His sin was a direct challenge to the power and authority of God. And again, what was his sin?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
What was his sin? What was Satan's sin?
Oh, his pride, arrogance. He wanted everything that God had.
Exactly, his conceit.
Right.
And his sin was a challenge, a direct challenge to the power and authority of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how dare you?
Exactly.
Amen. Genesis 14 and 18.
Genesis 14, 18 says, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, Most High.
Amen.
So we see God again being the Most High.
Satan's sin was all the more heinous because of the great privileges, intelligence, and position he had. His sin was also more damaging because of the widespread effects of it. It affected other angels, Revelation 12 and 7. Evangelist, get that, please. It affects all people, Ephesians 2 and 2. Nadine, get that, please. It positioned him as ruler of this world, which he uses to promote his kingdom and to counterfeit
God's plan, John 16:11. It affects all the nations of the world, for he works to deceive them, Revelation 20:3. Douglas, you can read 12:7.
Okay. Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Amen. Yep.
Amen. And then get Revelation 20:3. Excuse me?
Revelation 20:3, you say?
Yeah, don't read it yet.
Okay.
Ephesians 2:2
talks about how it affects all people. And he says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the rulers of the authority of the air, the spirit now working in the sons of disobedience.
All right. Yep. And then you can get John 16:11, I'm sorry. And this is talking about it positioned him as the ruler of this world. His sins, all the more heinous because of the great privileges, intelligence, and position he had. His sin was also more damaging because of the widespread effects of it. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means that, we saw that his sins had not only had an effect over the angels, but it had effect over the whole world, all the people.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And everybody. So, but John 16:11 talks about counterfeit gods. And it says, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned.
Mm-hmm. The ruler of this world has been condemned. And who is that?
Satan.
Amen, amen. So Satan affects angels. He affects people.
Mm-hmm.
But it positioned him to be the ruler of this world. And when he uses, which he uses to promote his kingdom, amen, he likes to promote himself.
Right.
And
right.
To counterfeit God's plan.
Yes.
You read that, 16:11, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so yes. Revelation 20:3, Evangela, it affects all the nations of the world. For he works to deceive them. He's the deceiver.
Yes, he is. Okay, 20:3 says, the angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nation anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. Afterwards, he must be released for a little while.
Mm. Mm. Wow.
Yep.
So he's shut up for 1,000 years, but at this time he's ruling.
Yeah.
At this time, he's ruling. What was that?
If he's locked away for 1,000 years.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Not at this point. Not yet.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
He's the ruler of this world right now. But at that time, at the end times, he will be locked away. And this is the end times. But he's not. We haven't reached that point yet where he's been locked up and there will be no more sin in the world for, at least from Satan, no more sin in the world for 1,000 years. We didn't get there yet. So all sin is serious and all sin affects others. But sin in high places is more serious and its ramifications more widespread. The sin of Satan should serve as a constant reminder and warning to us. The sin of Satan should serve as a constant reminder and warning to us. Again, that puffed upness, that selfishness, that wanting to promote yourself above God and, you know, all of that Satan offers is to be turned away. Okay? let's go over the homework before we get into chapter 24, which is the activities of Satan. Was anyone able to catch up and do it?
Yes. I just have a question from what we just, I'm going to go over it. But I have a question that I'm going to look up because I don't know, unless you know the answer, Sister Barbara, which is, does Satan's thousand-year lockup happen at Jesus' second coming? Like, I don't know when it actually happens, and I'm sure we could find that out, but I'm going to look that up. When does the thousand-year lockup occur? Is it at the second coming of Jesus? You're saying before the second coming, but when before the second coming?
The first coming is
When is he bound? Well, he's the ruler of the world now. No, I don't. That's why I'm asking the question. Isn't he loose now?
Then I saw the final judgment.
So there's three different versions of the same revelation, same second coming. Right. It depends on who you are and what your doctrine is. Look up premillennial, post-amillennial.
It's called millennial?
Yes. This is, that's in 22:4 talks about the millennium. The 1,000 years after are often referred to as the millennium. Latin for 1,000 years. How and when this unfolds takes place is understood differently among Christians.
I'll do some research.
Okay, so that can be homework. We're going to find out when it is that they've been talking about the devil being locked up for a millennium, for a thousand years. All right? That's homework.
Some have an amillennial, some have a post. And you'll be sitting there arguing with them that both of y'all is right. When you believe in what system you believe in.
Okay, so I did some research on the Antichrist, and I don't know, should I go first? Christians in Christianity, of course, the Antichrist with a capital A, or they also have the Antichrist with a small A, and it refers to people prophesied by the Bible to oppose Christ and substitute themselves in Christ's place. Before the second coming. The term Antichrist is found five times in first and second epistle of John, which I have these verses. The other thing is that in the dictionary, it says that the Antichrist is one who denies or opposes Christ specifically, a great antagonist expected to fill the world with wickedness, but to be conquered forever by Christ in the second coming. So 1 John 2:18-22. Does somebody want to get that?
Which, I'm sorry, what was the scripture?
1 John 2:18-22. And then 1 John 4.
Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
1 John 2:18 says, this is the warning about Antichrist with a capital A.
Mm-hmm.
Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming. And already many such antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that the last hour has come.
Okay.
So, and the commentary on that
And 20, yeah.
Okay.
And 22.
18 to 23, it says, John is talking about the last days, the time between Christ's first and second coming. The first century readers of 1 John lived in the last days, and so do we. During this time, Antichrist, which is referred as false teachers, who pretend to be Christians and who lure weak members away from Christ, will appear. Finally, just before the world ends, the one great Antichrist will arise. And you'll find that in Revelation 13, 19 and 20, 20 and 10. We do not need to fear these evil people. However, the Holy Spirit shows us their errors, so we will not be deceived. However, we must teach God's word clearly and carefully to the weak members among us, so that they won't fall prey to these teachers who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Matthew 7 and 15.
So they come as what?
They come as vicious people. Wolves.
No, before that, they come they're really vicious.
Yeah, they come disguised as harmless sheep.
Harmless, okay, I didn't hear you.
Harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Like they
they look innocent.
Yes.
But
right.
They're not innocent.
But they're not.
Uh-huh.
Right.
That's that look. That's that look that we see. That's why we, Satan is so beautiful. If he was ugly, people wouldn't listen to him, right?
No.
And if you can read 22,
they would be running away from him.
Right. 1 John 2 and 22. You read 18. Could you read 22?
Okay. 22 says. 21, 22, and. Who is a liar? Where is 22? And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist.
Right. Also, again,
so evangelist, did you get to do the homework?
Well, I did the same that similar to what the first lady. I went to the scriptures, and it gave me the same thing. That's why I'm reading it, because it's the same thing about the Antichrist.
Okay, I'm going to go over mine. It's Basic Theology by Charles Furari, The Antichrist, Five Things. Mm-hmm. Number one, he is the son of Satan. He was the perfectly evil human being because he was completely opposite to the perfectly good human being, Jesus Christ. It's said that Satan had relations with a whore, and that's where the Antichrist with the capital A comes from. 1 John 2, 18 through 27, 1 John 4, 1 through 6, and 2 John 7. We don't have time to read that, but if you want to look it up later on, I can give it to you again. They suggest the end of the world should be expected at any moment. Number two, he is an earthly tyrant and trickster. By the year 1000, the main outliers of the first narratives about the Antichrist with the capital A, unless it's with a small A, I'm not going to say that it's a capital A because we're understanding. We're talking about the main one. Okay, the Antichrist was in place thanks to a noble-born Benedictine monk, an abbot named Atzo of Montier in Dur, around 920 through 92, who wrote a treatise on the subject. According to him, the Antichrist would be a Jew from the tribe of Dan and born in Babylon. He would be brought up in all forms of wickedness by magicians and wizards. He would be accepted as the Messiah and ruler by the Jews in Jerusalem. Those Christians whom he couldn't convert to his cause, he would torture and kill. He would then rule for 7 years before being defeated by the angel Gabriel or Christ and the divine armies prior to the resurrection of the dead and the final judgment. Number three, past popes have been accused by the year 1400. Pope no longer a tyrant outside the church, but a deceiver within it. And I know some of us have heard that they accused the Pope of being Antichrist. Not so much the one that's in position now, but the fact that that position as the Pope is Antichrist. This was the position on the Antichrist adopted by Protestants at the time of the 16th century Reformation. Martin Luther, 1483 through 1546, was convinced that he was living in the last days. For him, the Pope fitted all of the criteria for the Antichrist. The Pope, he declared, is the true end times Antichrist who has raised himself over and set himself against Christ. Number four, he is one and many. He has multiplied the Antichrist, has become a general category available for individuals, collectives, and objects as the demonic other, in quotes. Generally, predictions of a tyrant outside the church now dominate the idea of a deceiver within it. American presidents are well represented. They thought these people were Antichrist. Ronald Reagan, John F. Kennedy, Barack Obama, all mentioned. Number 45, Donald Trump, is gaining popularity as a worthy candidate, with ethics scholar D. Stephen long suggesting he represents not a single person but a political pattern that repeats itself by taking on power to oppress the poor and the just. And I made a notation in that part. Let me see what I talk about. Okay, let's go on. And so, number five, he dies in the end, talking about the Antichrist. According to the Christian tradition, the Antichrist will finally be defeated by the armies of God under the leadership of Christ, with the kingdom of God on earth or in heaven to follow. So in spite of current appearances, Christianity holds firmly to the hope that evil will be finally overcome and that goodness will ultimately prevail. The core idea of the Antichrist of evil at the depths of things lays upon all of us the ethical imperative to take evil seriously. Whether the end is nigh or not, we should work to minimize harm and maximize the good in the here and now. And I had the asterisk, which is referring to this. Jerry Falwell, American evangelist, known for his controversial views on apartheid, homosexuality, Judaism, climate change, and Teletubbies, once said, "The Antichrist will be a world leader. He'll have supernatural powers. Others thought to be Antichrist Hillary Rodham Clinton, Osama bin Laden, a favorite until his death, as was Saddam Hussein, or Saddam Hussein. Marks of the Beast 666 have been discerned by some in supermarket barcodes and pet microchips. And this article was written by Philip C. Almond, the University of Queensland in Australia, October the 20th, 2020. So we find out a lot, and none of the antique, well, one section mentioned them with a little A, but this is talking about the son of Satan, who somehow is looked at as in a pattern of government. Amen? We see the evil in government where they oppress the poor and they just don't care anything. And we saw that mostly, I'm sure, when number 45 was in the White House, you know.
Yeah.
And so he still has that mentality as he's trying to turn Congress around and not have them support the things that the Democrats are trying to benefit other people with. Amen?
Amen. Absolutely.
That's my report on the God. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Very thorough. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So we have our homework assignment for next week, which is a written assignment. We're going to talk about the millennial and when Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. That's our homework.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to close it out right now.
Okay.
What happened?
So, wait.
Oh,
you said
you need the title?
Satan will be bound for 1,000 years?
Yes. When will Satan be bound for a millennial?
Millennial. Okay.
And
millennial is 1,000 years.
Yeah, I know. The scriptures that you read off.
1 minute.
Okay.
That was 1 John 2, 18 through 27. 1 John 4, 1 through 6, and 2 John 2 chapter, verses 18 through 27.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 4 chapter, verses 1 through 6, and 2 John chapter 7. So if you get to read it at your leisure, that would be quite beneficial. Amen.
Okay, so just read these scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
and see if you get an understanding,
yeah,
a better understanding.
When will Satan be bound for 1,000 years?
No, that's not the bound. No, that's not the bound. You know, those are the Antichrist scriptures that she gave you.
Yeah,
no, but she knows that, she's talking about the homework for next week will be when will Satan bound for a millennial. Is that the tribulation? Is that the second coming of Christ? Is it now? When will it be? Amen?
Right.
When will it be?
Amen.
All right, so that's homework.
Okay.
Quite interesting.
When you text me, what you call it, the devotional stuff in the morning, can you put those that question down next to it?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, because I can't write as fast as you ladies talk.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I can send it to you when you get off the phone if you want, or you'd rather wait till tomorrow?
I'll appreciate it right now if you have time.
Okay, I'll text it to you. Will Satan be bound for a millennial?
Okie dokie.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, I'll text that to you.
Oh, praise the Lord.
For next Wednesday.
Okay. So next week.
This is wonderful. I appreciated the Hittites also. I've done my homework. I like to do it right away. I don't like to kind of, you know, linger and whatever. So I got
because
into that. I
you're
won't
right. When you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you wait,
get it out
kinda,
of the way. Done.
Right.
Not so much you forget because you should be writing it down just in case your memory is not, you know, you don't get the right question that was written, that was asked.
Y'all, I mean, y'all be giving out those scriptures like, me.
I went over it again, madam. Did you get them?
Yes, I got the scriptures. Thank you.
Okay, all right. So now you need to read them. First Lady, do we need to read Obadiah or just wait until next week?
Just wait. We can wait till next week because we still, remember we're supposed to be, we're just reviewing Amos. What was the chapters? Let me get the
well, I read it already.
I did too, but. Okay.
I read Obadiah before too. Okay. Right. No, I mean, I read it last night. Good class. Very good. Oh, okay. What happened? Would you complain about?
You got to
repeat the verses or what? Because I wrote mine down.
I said you ladies are good students.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. are you going to repeat the verses? Like I said, I already have it down. I understand what you want to read.
The
3, the 1 Amos through 14 or something, and 6 of Amos.
Yeah.
3 through 6. 6:14.
Right. 3 through chapter 6.
14. Mm-hmm. Probably need to read the entire 6th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's after the hour. Mm-hmm. And thank Apostle for putting in his, I won't say that, but anyway, thank you for his input. And when is he coming back to teach? Come on.
Boy, you getting tired?
I think he's given that job. I think
you've given that job to me.
You're the teacher.
And
you
I didn't
are the teacher.
Know that I was put, okay, all right.
Okay. But he needs to stick his head in.
Yeah, I'm ready. He needs to stick his head in occasionally. I know he says things, you know, like away from the mic, but we need him to put in his input even though he's turned over the reins, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
So we're going to say, Lady Nadine, I didn't mean to cut you off. What are you saying?
I don't know. I don't remember now.
Okay. So would you take us out in prayer?
Surely.
And don't
Lord
forget
God,
the little girl
you,
that
God.
Died, the 9-year-old girl. Can you kind of lift her parents up in prayer?
Yeah, in the reservoir, right?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Well, you can just talk about it anyway. You don't have to get the details. God knows about her.
All right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on, Pastor?
Yeah. I just got on.
Can you pray us out there?
You just got on.
Okay, well, we done.
Oh, wow.
Okay, Pastor, I just want to say, I know you turned the reins over to me, but I need you to stick your head in occasionally to say something when we're having the lesson, okay?
Say that there's 3 types of millennialism.
We're not going to go into that right now. I have to go.
We're getting ready to pray out.
We're closing. We're
getting ready to pray out.
I was
bring
trying
it to us
stick
next
my
week
head
if you want to.
Okay, I guess I got to stick my next week. Well, let the words of our mouths, meditations of our hearts be acceptable in God's sight. Oh, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us all say
Jesus. All right, you gave us a benediction, but we didn't get the prayer, but we'll go with that. God bless you. Love you all.
Love you too.
No, we wanted a prayer. That's what Nadine was about to do.
Text me.
Oh, you wanted a prayer. Okay.
You want to pray?
Nadine. Nadine was supposed to do it, right?
Yes, Nadine was about to give us a prayer.
Go ahead, Nadine.
Dear God, we love you. We praise you, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God. Lord God, there's been some tragedies, Lord God, and Surfside, Lord God, and tragedies, Lord God, in the world, Lord God. There's tragedies in Haiti, Lord God, and that country is in such an uproar, Lord God. But, Lord God, we know that you are sovereign, Lord God. You know all things, Lord God. And, Lord God, we just ask you to put special blessings around those victims, those people who are suffering, Lord God, from the little girl and her parents, Lord God, all of the loved ones, Lord God, of the people who perished in that building, Lord God. Also, Lord God, we pray for that island of Haiti, Lord God, that
yes.
has constantly been going through turmoil after turmoil after turmoil, mm-hmm. Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to bless all those who are on the line, Lord God. And,
yes.
and dear God, give a special blessing to Sister Barbara, Lord God, for her diligence, Lord God,
yes.
and her gift, Lord God, of teaching this lesson, Lord God. And we just thank you and praise you for her, Lord God. Lord
yes,
God,
Lord.
We just thank you and praise you for this opportunity, for this platform, Lord God,
please.
For us to be able to have a lesson, Lord God, and learn more about you, Lord God. And I thank
yes.
you, Sister Hilda,
thank
Lord
you.
God.
Thank
Evangelist
you,
Hilda, who is keeps this
yes.
ministry going, Lord God,
that
will only glorify you. We thank you for her, Lord God. And Lord God,
yes.
we ask all of these blessings in your precious
thank
Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. We've already had the benediction, so we won't ask for that again. But thank you for the prayer.
Nope.
And everybody be blessed. Love you all. And God
love
willing,
you too. Love you
Saturday.
Too.
Saturday morning.
Yep.
Saturday morning. God's willing.
Attacked at around 1 o'clock in the morning, and the president.
Love you all.
Okay,
shalom.
Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Love you too. Shalom.
I'm not playing no music. I'm just singing
us out. Praise the Lord. Covering the story for us today is our.